We're discussing last time the problems with drinking wine, namely getting drunk. He said in the last paragraph that a gathering of people that, from the Rambam, a gathering of people that are drunk is more embarrassing, is more disgraceful than a gathering of people without clothing. Because, by the way, you see, because when a person's acting without intelligence, that's very embarrassing. It's a design. But, you know, never. We mentioned on Purim also. We mentioned even on Purim. It's probably not worth drinking too much, because the person drinks so much that he can't. He's not connected to Purim, and not connected to the Yiddish guy. He can become very, very too silly. He drinks too much. It's very hard. A person drinks too much, he becomes silly. And actually, I just heard a tape from Rabbi Reisman, Shlita also, he mentioned such a thing. So if you drink some Purim, get high. Purim is beautiful. I love Purim. One thing I like about Purim, and I always think to myself on Purim that I wish I was drunk all year round, because you find that you're just a better person when you're drunk. You're more loving, you're just a happier. And if you would be able to have that Purim all year round, just with a little bit more, level headedness, it'd be a wonderful thing. And that's the point of Purim. The point of Purim is to be Purim is the Indian of Achdus, and a person drinks, it's much easier to be. A person doesn't have jealousies, doesn't have friction. A person's a much warmer, loving person on Purim. He's more easygoing. When he's under the influence of alcohol, that's the purpose of the alcohol. If a person drinks too much, then he might step beyond that axilli, and he doesn't gain from the yontif. He doesn't gain from any tire that's being said. He doesn't know what's flying. Yeah. All right. He just throws up over other people's floors. All right. Let's go back there. However, with all that being said, shtiyas hayayin tayv ma'id. Drinking of wine is very good. Bizman shetishta al minig hamaskilim. This is a chiddush for some. For us, for those that haven't learned this or have spoken before, drinking of wine is good if you drink like the intelligent people. There's a reason why Hashem created alcohol, besides per. Shlomo said, "Tenu sheicher la'ive, give beer to the ive, to the distraught person, the one that's lost, the yayin and wine lamari nefesh, and give wine to someone that has a bitter soul." It's very good. The bums drink beer, that's called the ive, the one that's lost. Okay, that's Mari Nefesh, he's bitter, he drinks wine. Alright, I don't think that's Shalom Al Meh, but Yishtah, he should drink. The Yishkach Risha, he forgets his poverty, he forgets his suffering. Vamol Yisrael, he doesn't remember his pain. I mean, when a person drinks wine, it takes him away from his problems. Takes away his problems, not thinking about his problems, he's not worrying about his problems, because the seichel becomes diminished, and he's more, he's on high. That's why people that are depressed, or people that have problems, by the goyim, especially goyim that don't have, depressing lives, what do? Every night, or whatever it is, they get drunk. Because this way, at least they have a few hours where their problems are not on their mind. That's called escaping reality, and that's not an answer to your problem. Shlomo Melech says, give wine. Shlomo Melech is not talking about to a person that's hopeless, and he's saying, drink wine every night and get drunk. He's saying that if a person uses wine, if a person's bitter, if a guy comes to your house, and he's in a bad mood, he's bitter, give him a couple of schnapps, cheer him up. Not if a guy has a serious problem. Guy's going through a difficult time. He needs to be cheered up. So give him a l'chaim. You know the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings this pasuk. It says, very interesting Gemara. Gemara says that someone who's going to be killed by Beis Din, it says you give him a little bit of wine, you give him a little bit of alcohol, in order that he should become, lose his seichel a little bit. Shenamar brings this pasuk, Tinu Sheikha La'ived V'yayin L'mari Nefesh. So they used to give the people that are going to be killed, they used to give them wine to drink, in order that they shouldn't, you know, they should relieve their suffering, the emotional suffering, before the execution. It says about wine, it makes Hashem Elokim. What does this mean here? Hamesameach Elokim Anashim. We learned this in Shaiftim. What does it mean that makes Hashem happy and men happy? Wine doesn't make Hashem happy. Hashem doesn't drink wine. What does it mean Hamesameach Elokim Anashim? What does it mean Hamesameach Elokim? We learned this. Navi. Navishir. Who was there for Navishir in Shaiftim? No one. Except for me. I don't remember. Meir Simcha. So what does it mean? What does Meir Simcha think it means? I'm Zameach Elokim Ba'anashim. You have a Navi? Is it Shaiftim? Yes. Let's look it up. I can't remember. I'm not sure the Pshat. We had a chat then. It means
because you can't. Rashi says you can't say shira. You only say shira on a carbon unless there's nesachim.
You don't say a shira on a carbon unless there's the nesach on the pouring of the wine. It's not the actual wine, it's a shira to Hashem. You only say the Leviim only say a shira, they drink wine. The Radak brings down here, this is a makar. The Chazal say, you only say shira on yayin. Now that's what it means in Sameach Elokim, because you can't say shira to Hashem unless you drink wine. Unless there's wine being poured. Thanks, Don.
Wine makes the heart rejoice. From all these we learn, Shevach HaYayin, the praise of wine, Shukim Mishpat HaChamim, when it's done with the wisdom, with the judgment of the Chachamim, V'Hashayisim Kishir, and they drink the proper amount. So wine is a good thing. Wine is a good thing. You have to be careful what I say in Musarat, because I know it's going to get back to me, somehow or other. I don't know, it's going to get back to you from Rashid or something. But wine is a good thing. If a person feels a little bit down, and he wants to take a cup of wine, so it's a gewaltig thing, a wonderful thing. Problem is when a person gets carried away. Problem is I would try it in my house, but I don't know. My wife wouldn't understand. She thinks she'd be nervous. But really, it's not a bad thing to drink a cup of wine, drink a little bit of wine. L'chein al derech zeh, we'll start today. L'chein al derech zeh. Therefore, all that being said, getting high, not getting drunk, in appropriate times. Yichaven amas kulishos yain. The intelligent person should be his intention when he drinks wine. His intention to drink wine should be to give him a little bit of simcha, to pick him up when he's a little bit down. The yizar, he should be careful shlo yarbe b'shtiyah. He shouldn't drink too much. Sheitzarach levata malata, that he'll end up having to lose time from his work, v'asakum in his business. Balakol, and oh yishtamer, you should always be careful. Milishtos kol kach ad shivata mitaras, the tefillah, not to drink so much that you should end up being mevatel Torah.
What does yishtamer mean?
You should be careful. Watch yourself. From your mevatel Torah and tefillah. In other words, let's put it this way, if this helps you. You shouldn't drink that much that you shouldn't be able to daven, right? Proper. In other words, we're talking about just a little bit. You know, there's some people that are always seem to be, that are always on high. You know. You know, there's some people that always some bachur that seem like they always are a little bit high. So that's the amount you should drink to get you there. If you can't get there, if you can't get there by working on your, you can't get there. We should try to get there without alcohol, it's not a stira. We should try to be besimcha even without alcohol, but there's nothing wrong with taking a little shot to get there. Once in a while, when a person's having difficulty, really be careful. Or a person should always be careful never to have too much schaik, too much foolishness and level and kalas reish, lightheadedness. You shouldn't drink that much that you reveal secrets. That's a sign that you drink too much. That's definitely a sign you drink too much when you reveal secrets. Or worse yet, depends what the secret is, but reveal other people's secrets. You should know, one time on Purim, a person was drunk, and he told me a secret. But I don't remember if he told me, I think he told me then, but I'm not going to tell anyone. Or maybe the next day he asked me if he told me, I don't remember. But the person told me a secret that he said he didn't tell any other person in his life. So I can't really tell you what the secret was. But the kids is interesting. This much I can tell you that a person that had passed away, a tzaddik that had passed away that he was close with, came to him in a vision when he was in yeshiva one day. You see, I'm sure that it happened because the person told me.
He was drunk.
He told me. He said that he came to me a few weeks after. I don't know if that's after. He said he made me promise. He said, but that, I don't know if he came. I don't remember while he was drunk, he realized that he made a mistake telling me. He told me not to tell anyone. And he never told anyone, and I should never tell anyone. Or the next day, somehow he recollected that he had told me. I don't remember when, but it was clear that it was real. Told me that he was close with. I guess I don't think I'm breaking anything because there's no way anyone can know who or what. But it's a tzaddik that he was close with Talmud Chacham, a tzaddik that passed away, and tzaddik came to him in a vision, and told him things. Imam Ashi said it actually changed his life. He told him things. I don't know what he told him exactly. He came to him with a glowing face, and he told him whatever. I don't remember what he told him, or I don't know if he told me what
was
he told.
Was he drunk when it happened?
So if you have such secrets, if anyone was zaycha to have such a secret and doesn't want to share, don't drink so much. Versus be careful. All right. Tishna mida zayis. If a person drinks too much, if a person drinks this way, lo yilecha yayin lazara. Then wine is not a zara. Wine is not a strain. It's not a bad thing. It's not a stranger. The Gemara makes a drasha, I believe. I think he's alluding to drasha. The Gemara says in Yuma. Maybe I'm making this up. Jeez. I don't want to make up a drasha. I don't remember what it says. So let's just... You want to get me a Gemara? Get me a Gemara. I don't know if I'll find it. Let's go right there. Gambamu Adam Bergolim. I was speaking to Daniel yesterday about this. By on Yom Tovim, Ashik Sibem is a mach of Nei Hashem Elokecha. It says Samach of Nei Hashem Elokecha. You should know, it says Samach of Nei Hashem Elokecha. There's a mitzvah on Yom Tov for a person to drink wine. It's a mitzvah on Yom Tov to drink wine. So, lest the person ask, then how you'll say, why is a mitzvah to drink wine on Yom Tov? It's artificial simcha. It's not real simcha. You're using alcohol. So, how could the Torah say, Samach of Nei Hashem Elokecha, drink yayin? You could taste the taste, but l'chayra, when Chazal said to drink wine yantiv, they didn't just mean because it tastes alcohol. It meant it's a chakira, yesh lacha. Chazal, the mitzvah of drinking wine on yantiv, samach v'shem kecha, is for the fact or for the taste of wine? Yesh lacha. It makes an afkemina. Let's say, like someone like myself, I don't particularly like the taste of alcohol. So, but it's very possible, there's a raya from... I think when Maisha brings a raya from Baba Metzia, it's a different issue. It's very possible that the mitzvah of drinking wine in Yom Tov is for the effect, not just for the taste.
from Sarin. Yeah, but people like, you know, there are people that like wine, right?
Like beer,
they
force themselves to
wine.
No, wine is a
white
wine.
Wine is
acquired taste.
It's not tough. No, wine's acquired also. Alright, anyways, for now I'll just leave it like that. If I find it, okay. The Gemara is, so he says, Vaita. Kidnamar, Layimshach Atom behind us and a rival, he shouldn't drink too much. Even on Yantif, person's supposed to drink, he shouldn't drink too much. Kanamar, as it says in the Pasuk, Tachas Hashem, he brings a raya. This passage, Parsha, I guess that's a good sign for us. Tachas Hashem, Ivatas Hashem, Alakacha, Vesimcha. What? What's the second? It's not in Bechukosa? Really? Oh, you're right. You're right. So what does it say here? It doesn't say it at all? Doesn't say it at all over here? Okay, okay. Adam, can you finish? No. All right. Maybe it doesn't say anything.
What is that shit?
Yeah. I don't know. Why do I think I saw it? Maybe it didn't. Maybe I didn't. Yeah, I guess it's not here. All right, it's not here. He's right. It's in the Tachas. All right, that's what we thought it was. Anyways, but Halamarata teaches you. Shaloi nitztavino al simcha, that we're not commanded on simcha. Sheyishach b'yaitzakol. We're not commanded on a simcha that should make us forget Hashem. The purpose of simcha is a vehicle to serve Hashem. Tachas v'lo'avad Hashem akechol b'simcha t'vleivav. That a person has to use the simcha to serve Hashem. V'yav sh'lo'avad Hashem isparach l'mitakach. So you can't serve Hashem if you're foolish, if you're lightheaded. V'lo'avad mitakach shchayk, not foolish, mitakach shichros or drunkenness. So obviously the wine has to be used as a vehicle to serve Hashem with simcha. If the wine is, the person is not serving Hashem with the wine, then it defeats the purpose of the drinking. Okay, let's go right there. V'midas ha-simcha t'luya mitzvah ha-say. In the midah of simcha, it's dependent on mitzvah ha-say. She-yatzeh kol ma-raisa. A person has to justify or accept all the things that happen to him. This is a very important issue that tests us every day. Shenemar, as it says, Yadatum of Avecha, you should know in your heart, Ki Kasha Yasser Ishas Benai, just like Hashem gives Musar, just like a father gives Musar, he punishes a son, Hashem Alakecha Miyasrecha, Hashem gives you Musar. So, this is very common. That's pretty bad. That's the common though. Every person could fall into this trap. What do you tell the person? It's very easy to tell someone else. So I heard this. What I heard the person telling this, you know, I didn't give it to him. I'm saying, but basically, you know, I was trying to gently say to him, like, it didn't even really make such an impression on me. Like, you know, it's difficult, I know, but you know, this person was telling me how he has a friend that's on his deathbed, and this person's mother just passed away, and this was this, and this is what you're asking why about? Mamadasha, I have such a good vart. I said, this is what you have questions on, right? We complain, you know. So, like, first of all, Aleph, what are you complaining about? So many people have so much worse. But there's another question. There's another thing that just shows me. Yeah, ask ourselves sometimes. We're complaining. And I think the person's complaining. You know, well, Hashem's doing this. So ask the person. Ask ourselves. Do we have a kasha? I've said this before.
Do the kasha. Why does Hashem make the Holocaust? I asked this guy. He's complaining about his car broke down. He's complaining about his parents don't give him money, let's say. And you tell him, you know, you really have good complaints against Hashem. You know, do you have any problems with the Holocaust? 6 million Jews were killed. Do you have any problems? So this person happened to tell me that, you know, he wasn't there. I mean, that's one of the most pitiful and disgusting things I've ever heard in my whole life. He wasn't there. 6 million Jews were killed. You weren't there. Okay. But what happens when we think to ourselves, like, what does a rational person think when he thinks about the Holocaust? 6 million Jews were killed. I don't know any Bachim walking around. There might be some survivors. But I don't think Bachim walking around with tightness on Hashem for making the Holocaust. All of a sudden, person said, listen, do you think Hashem had 6 million Jews killed for no reason? You think Hashem does things without any reason? You think 6 million Jews could possibly be killed for that reason? We don't understand Hashem's reasoning. Hashem obviously has his reasons, and we don't understand. If someone asks you, by the way, stop. A person asks you, you know, older person, a guy, you don't necessarily meet up with these people so often anymore. A person asks you, you know, God, how do you believe in God? How do you learn Torah? You know, Holocaust. You don't start answering him. You're not in a place to answer, oh, well, you know, sometimes God gives punishment. Why is this thing? I have the same question. But I know God is God, and I know if you believe in God, then there's a reason for it. But God's not worse than me and you. God has a reason. Must be for a reason. That's all. If you're asking a good question, but we don't know. What does it show? Anyway, these people, it's very strange, because what are they saying exactly? What are they trying to prove? If they're coming to say there is no God because of the Holocaust, then what they're saying has some logic to it. Obviously, it's not much of a proof to anything, but there's at least some seichel to it. But many people, it's like, oh, Hashem killed 6 million Jews, so how can I learn Torah? They believe in God, they're accepting him as God, and then they're saying, well, because God did this, I don't have to do this. Well, he's God. He told you what you have to do. So, what's your raya? You have a good because of the Holocaust. Therefore, what? Therefore, the Torah is not true. If you're masking this God, so what do you know? But, all right. Anyways, but the point is like this. When it comes, but if you think about it, it's a scary thing. When it comes to the Holocaust, oh, I have a moon in Hashem. I don't have questions on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to my stubbed toe. When it comes to my missing jacket, when it comes to my missing lunch, when it comes to my missing stroller, oh, why is God doing this to me? God is not fair. He's always messing me up. Now, what's the answer to this kasha? I'm a peldi kasha. Peldi kasha. I'm afraid to give the answer. Peldi kasha. Oh, the Holocaust, the person has a moon in Hashem, oh, whatever, Hashem does the best. Oh, the bombs, the Eretz Yisrael, oh, he doesn't make hashes, he doesn't walk around with complaints against Hashem. Oh, but on his missing notebook, on his missing Gemara, on his, whatever it is, on his smaller problems, even his bigger problems, he has complaints against Hashem. What's the answer to that question? It's a shtaka kasha. I don't want to give the answer to the question because I'm afraid I know the answer to the question. But, Mimanusha. We have to tell ourselves. So, the answer is not, I don't want to give away the answer. Because it's a very scary answer to this question. I don't know if people have to think about it. It reflects something about our weakness of our nature. But besides that, so what do we say? We're not saying a person should walk around complaining about the Holocaust. You should know. When a person complains and says, why is Hashem making all these bombs in Eretz Yisrael? Or a person goes and says, why is Hashem making all these bombs in Israel? Why is he killing all these people? Let's say a from Jew, or even a not from Jew, saying, why is God killing all these people? You should know he's on a higher level than you. Maybe he's complaining because he cares more. When you stub your foot, you say the same thing. All of a sudden, when a guy starts complaining why people are being killed in Israel, oh, you have to believe in Hashem. What are you asking questions like that? Yeah, we ask the same questions on our. He's better than us.
On his stub toe, maybe he could accept. On his broken car, he accept. Jews being killed, he can't accept. He can't accept it. I'm not saying he, of course, he has to learn to accept it. But maybe he's more advanced. Maybe he's more advanced than some of us. But what we have to think to ourselves is, and sometimes I think, sometimes I do think this, a person has to work on it. Doesn't always, a person can think to himself, something's not going right. A person can think to himself, listen, 6 million Jews were killed. I just recently I thought to myself, listen, whatever situation I'm going through, I think I prefer this situation than being in Nazi Germany in 1941. I think I prefer this than a concentration camp. I think I prefer this than this. It works. It really works. It really works. And you start realizing to yourself when you start putting things into perspective, you start putting it into perspective and you see, your person thinks to himself, this person's mother was a terrorist, and this sort of things. You don't have problems with that. You trust Hashem. How come you only care about yourself? So trust Hashem. Trust Hashem. There's a reason for it. This is Baruch Hashem. And Baruch Hashem, this should be a kapara. Sometimes you should know. Right? Rabbi Kilosh mentioned something very terrible, but on a different angle. The way I always heard Rabbi Per discuss it says as follows. For example, we discussed B'tachon Sin and Aruch HaTzadikim, that a person has to trust Hashem. So Rabbi Per said that many times a person is very sick, a person's child is very sick, Rachman Al-Tzlan, all of a sudden he has B'tachon Hashem. You'll hear this person who wasn't on a high level, all of a sudden he's saying, whatever Hashem does is for the best. I trust Hashem. I'm not worried about the operation. I trust Hashem. And my parents said, because when a person realizes, when a person's forced that and sees things are out of his control, he has no choice many times but to trust Hashem. It's a madrega, but many times in a way, it's a madrega. Because many times a person could walk around complaining against Hashem. But many times a person reaches such a difficulty that he has no choice, but either it's such a terrible nesayin that it gives him an extra push that he has to trust Hashem. I'm not saying that you shouldn't respect those that go through difficult situations trust Hashem. There are plenty of people that go through difficult situations and walk around cursing Hashem, chas v'shalom. But sometimes when a person goes through a very difficult situation, he has no choice. When a person feels it's out of his control, he feels there's more of a no choice but to learn how to trust Hashem. But we don't have to. That's not where we're supposed to start. Real betachon starts with banging our toes. Real betachon starts with getting lost. A person driving a car, he gets lost. Oh, I'm all lost. What is it doing this to me? I don't know. I'm gonna be late. That's what the Yetzirah tells you. Oh, it doesn't make a difference if you trust Hashem. It's only getting lost. Maybe when you hear, when something big happens, you have to trust Hashem. That's the opposite. You have to start trusting Hashem. If you don't trust Hashem in the little things, then the big things mean nothing. Because that just means, it means you don't have true betachon, or it means that you just developed it nearby because you had no choice. Person, when he gets lost, he should be saying, oh, I got lost, Baruch Hashem. You should calm down. First of all, you should stop before betachon. First, stop. It's not good that I get all excited and get all upset over stupid things. But even greater than that, a person, it's not a baruch, it should be a kapara. It's not such a big deal. It's almost. And many times you find your way faster if you have that attitude. No, baruch Hashem, I found my way. Baruch Hashem, I'm not lost. I found my person has to start. Person working betachon on the smallest things. It says right. Says in the beautiful var from the Alter Nevarik, Madregas Adam, that we learned this together. No, he says that there's a gemara, the famous gemara that everyone knows, everyone heard before. You remember one of your elementary school rabbi must have told you that if you reach into your pocket and you pull out the wrong coin, it's a kapara. It's yisurim. The gemara says. Gemara says if a person reaches back for a cord and he pulls out a nickel, it's yisurim. So gemara says. So the Madrigas Adam, think about it, it's very hard to understand, why is that Yisurim? What are the chances that I pull into my pocket? You should say, well, if every single time I reach into my pocket and pick out the wrong coin, fine, but isn't it going to be that if I have two coins in my pocket, a quarter and a nickel, or if I have 10 quarters in my pocket and only one of them is a quarter, isn't it going to be likely that one every, you know, that only one every 10 times I'm going to pick out the right coin, right? So the Madrigas Adam says no. He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a malach watching over every person, everything, every blade of grass has a malach that says to grow. Hashem's watching over a person every second. If a person pulled out a right coin, that's bashert. If Hashem wants you to have the right coin, you'll get the right coin. That's also kapara, it's also yisur. Person has to start there. Start there. You know, a person doesn't get a ride, a person doesn't get a ride somewhere he wants to go. That's where a person has to start saying. That's got greatness. We're so, it's b'chol, one of the biggest mistakes people make their whole lives. People only perceive greatness as you know, saving someone and whatever, or doing a tremendous chesed, you know, taking a person that has no money and bringing him into your house, and you know, people only perceive chesed as great actions. By the way, you should know the great actions many times are so much easier to do. It's so much easier to save someone's life. If you know someone's dying, it's so much easier, so much more fulfilling. So much more of a responsibility to save someone's life. It's so much easier to do big chesed. The big chesed that we think is greatness is so much easier to do. When a person goes through a terrible nesayon, sometimes it's easier to say gamzu l'tov. Sometimes when a person is faced with a bigger challenge, bigger thing, the thing that looks like the greater thing, greatness is person stubs his toe. Ah, Baruch Hashem. Shvi'a kapar. That's greatness. Greatness is in the fine acts. How a person acts. How a person perceives things that happen to them. The small things. You know, and also a person has to, you know, another concept. Many times where, you know, a person has an assignment. So there are many nesayonos. I'm not talking about there are many terrible nesayonos a person could go through. But there are many nesayonos I want to tell you that you should think about the bracha. Let's say a person has a nesayon that his boss is very mean to him. Let's say a person has a nesayon that he has roommates that are not nice to him. Let's say a person has a nesayon that whatever it is, a nesayon that his parents aren't good to him. A person has a nesayon. I tell you a thought a person could have is, it's such a bracha. There's a real tzaras and they're not real tzaras. Rahman al-Litzlan, their family diseases. Rahman al-Litzlan, a person could be sick. Rahman al-Litzlan, a person, child. Rahman al-Litzlan, there's so many serious. Rahman al-Litzlan, a person could have a child that's not fulfilling. Keeping Torah and mitzvahs the way you should. They're real problems in life. Real problems. A person has a child that's not doing what he should be growing and learning. That's a real problem. That's your child. That's your Olam Haba. That's a real problem. When your boss is rude to you, when your boss treats you like 2 cents, that's such a bracha. Such a bracha. A person should think to himself, wow, I'm so lucky. Instead of Hashem giving me kaparas and things that really, really count, Hashem is giving me kaparas that really mean nothing. They really don't count. I get embarrassed. He puts me down. I get insulted. All the things that make no difference at the end of the day, unless I can't handle it and I get depressed and things like that. But basically, bottom line, they don't really have effect on your Olam Haba. They don't really have effect on your Olam Haza. You get embarrassed. Someone's not nice to you. They don't really count. There are tzaras. I'm not discussing those right now in this point. There are tzaras that really do count. There are tzaras that really do count. A person has to learn to deal with those. But when a person's dealing with tzaras, and most of a person's life, hopefully, Hashem should bless us, that all our tzaras should be tzaras that don't count. We should be thankful and say, Baruch Hashem, I have a tzara that doesn't count. It's such a bracha. Because, by the way, you know, Dovi once said this on a Thursday night chavura. You know, I was listening in. He said something which is very true. You know, I don't know if it's 100%, it's 90. He said that he thinks that people think, you know, this person has this tzara. You know, some people have it bad, have it really tough. And he said that you should know it's not so accurate. There are many people that have other tzaras that other people don't know about. And everyone thinks he has a taf because he has this tzara. And they don't know that this person has another tzara that's very private that no one would ever know about. And many people have so many more, there are many tzaras that people don't know about. They think, oh, Hashem is tough on this one, you know. And many times there's so many people that you don't see their sufferings, you don't see what they're going through, and they have issues that you wouldn't know about. So he was basically saying that it's not like if there are a few people that are hit. There are a lot of people hit. Just most people don't know how other people. Most people don't know how other people have difficulties. People don't realize. So a person has a tzara. A person has difficulty. A person should say, Baruch Hashem, I have tzaras that don't count. I have tzaras that don't count. They don't count. My kids, a person's kids are learning, are growing. Oh, I don't have tzaras that count. Having a lousy boss, not making a lot of money, are not tzaras that count. After me, I've asked them, they count for nothing. They're real problems, and they're real tzaras. If a person chas v'shalom has a real tzara, avadi is going to have to. It's going to take emunah and b'tachon Hashem. But this is just a thought, especially, hopefully, by Bachram. Hopefully, none of the Bachram here. I'm sure there are, but most of the Bachram here don't have tzaras that count. Many of the Bachram have tzaras, but I would say most of the tzaras the Bachram have don't count, because hopefully, should Baruch Hashem. And by the way, like we've said many times, you know that from Ray Rosen says that said it from others, but that the more a person accepts the tzara, the more it counts. The more a person accepts the tzara, the more it counts. A person has a lousy boss. A person has lousy workers that give him a lot of pain and that don't treat him with respect. And he says, oh, it should be a kapara, I'm so lucky. This is a Baruch Hashem. Hashem's giving me a kosher tzara, a tzara that doesn't count. It counts for everything. It counts for everything. That could replace Yonah Malchus, Chas V'Shalom. I once heard someone say, I know a person that has a difficult marriage. So the person said that someone told them, you should look at it. He said, this is your malchus. This is your malchus. It's not such a, this is your kapara. And it's better than chas v'shalom a sickness. Sickness exists. Sickness is a tzara. There are tzaras that count and tzaras that don't get. All right. And if we take advantage of the tzaras that don't get, we should never have a tzara that counts. Mm-hmm.